to live enriched lives when we follow your ways. Lord, when we follow your ways, there is blessing. And we just pray as we continue to look at these commandments that you will help us to have an understanding of what the fourth commandment relating to the Sabbath rest, day of rest, how that applies to us today. So we invite your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and into our lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. Newspaper in Tacoma, Washington ran a story about a dog owner who put his dog through an exhausting ordeal. The dog owner accidentally shut the dog's leash in the car door and took off for a drive with the dog attached to the outside of the vehicle. The dog had no choice but to run alongside the car as it drove down the street. A police officer happened to notice the car driving by, and he also noticed that there was a dog running furiously beside the car. So the officer chased the car to a stop and rescued the dog, but not before the dog had reached speeds of more than 40 kilometers an hour. In the end, the dog was fine, although he was literally exhausted. The police officer told the owner to give the dog a day of rest before his next walk. Now, many people know how this dog feels. We know how he feels, don't we? We live our lives, we live our days surrounded by noise, surrounded by constant activity, hurrying from one obligation to the next. Many people live their lives chained to their electronic devices. A newspaper editorial made the following observation about life. The editorial said, "The world is too big for us. There is too much going on, too much crime, too much violence, too many changes. Science empties its discoveries on you so fast that you stagger beneath them in hopeless bewilderment. Everything is high pressure. Human nature cannot endure much more." Doesn't that sound like an accurate summary of life in the 21st century? In reality, those words were written in the Atlantic Journal on June 16, 1833. Now, if the pace of life was considered hectic 190 years ago, what can we say about the pace of life today? One of the great paradoxes of the 21st century is the fact that we have many labor-saving devices, and these devices are supposed to make life easier. But studies show that people are more stressed out than ever, stressed out with work, raising children, and other activities that demand their time and their attention. The average office worker gets approximately 220 messages a day in emails, texts, phone calls, interruptions, and advertising. In many ways, technology has made people busier than ever because people are constantly texting, emailing, scrolling the internet, or engaging in social media and other forms of communication. So how exactly in this world do we find rest for our souls? God has a timeless solution for every human being who feels overwhelmed with busyness and stress. This solution is found in the fourth commandment. Today's message is part four in a series of messages on the Ten Commandments. Last week we looked at the third commandment, and we explored what it means to honor God's name. God's name is honored when we live out our faith with sincerity and with integrity. While the third commandment instructs us how to honor God with our words and with our actions, the fourth commandment instructs us to honor God with how we use our time. Specifically, the fourth commandment tells us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Today we're going to address three questions regarding this commandment. What does it mean? Why did God give it to us? And third, how does this commandment apply to us today? Follow along as I read this commandment for you from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, verses 12 to 15. It tells us in verse 12, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, not your male or female servant, not your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Well, more than likely, some of you, maybe many of you, some of you anyway, you grew up in homes where Sunday was strictly observed as a day of rest and worship. The kinds of activities that you were allowed to do on Sunday was strictly limited. It wasn't that long ago that Sunday shopping in Ontario was illegal. Today, most people are not nearly as rigid, of course, when it comes to how they regard Sunday. Our culture no longer views Sunday as any sort of sacred or special day. So this commandment raises a number of issues. Let's begin by seeking to understand what this commandment means. Let me suggest that it primarily means two things. First, one day per week is to be set aside for rest and restoration. The fourth commandment tells us to observe or remember the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word that literally means to cease or to stop. So we observe or remember the Sabbath by using it as a day of rest, as a day for physical and spiritual renewal. Even before the Ten Commandments were given, the Israelites understood the concept of a day of rest. In Exodus chapter 16, we learn that God provided manna for the Israelites 6 days out of seven. And every day they were to gather manna to eat, but the seventh day was a day of rest. There is a second meaning behind this commandment. One day per week is to be set aside specifically for worship. Not only does this commandment tell us to remember the Sabbath day, it also tells us to keep it holy. Now, if something is holy, it means that it is set apart, it is unique, it is special. In the biblical sense, to keep something holy also means to dedicate it for God's use, to dedicate it for worship. So one day a week is to be set apart not only for physical rest, but also as a day for us to come together to worship. Now, I know, biblically speaking, worship is not just something we do on Sunday. It is a life that is surrendered to God 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But Scripture instructs us to come together at least a minimum of once per week to worship God together corporately. Now, it is often said that how we spend our money reveals our values. In the same way, how we spend our time reveals what is important to us. We make time for activities that are meaningful for us, don't we? The fourth commandment calls us to make corporate worship a priority. Human beings are physical and spiritual beings. We simply cannot separate the two. So the idea behind this commandment is that we need both physical and spiritual renewal. This is captured in Leviticus 23:3, which says, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord." I came across a story this week about a photographer who was taking student photos at an elementary school for their annual photo day. And as he took pictures of the kids, he was trying to engage the kids in conversation to help them relax and to help them smile. The photographer was taking pictures of the grade one class when he asked one of the little girls, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" The girl looked at him and answered, "When I grow up, I'm going to be tired." Many of you probably feel the same way, don't you? Now, no doubt she had heard her parents repeatedly expressing how tired they were. The fourth commandment points us to the importance of rest and the importance of worshiping the God who created us. Let's turn our attention now to the specific reasons why God gave us this commandment. There are at least three reasons. First, God has woven work and rest into the very fabric of creation. Back in Genesis 2, we learn that the Lord rested after he had finished the work of creation. Listen to Genesis 2:2. "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." Now, just to be clear, although God rested on the seventh day, this does not mean that God needs to rest or that he ever gets tired. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says that the Lord is the everlasting God who never grows tired and never grows weary. So why did God rest on the seventh day? Genesis 2 does not imply that God needed to rest. The implication of Genesis 2 is that God created a pattern of work and rest as an example for us to follow. God rested to stop and enjoy what he had created. How often do we stop to rest and enjoy all that God has created? That's important for us to do that. Into the very fabric of time and creation, the Lord has built a rhythm of work, rest. Every creature has a built-in need to observe this rhythm, this pattern that God has created. If we fail to observe this pattern, we suffer the consequences. Interestingly, a few years back, a well-regarded science journal named Omni posted the findings of various research on the human body and how the human body functions at optimal level. According to these studies, the human body is designed so that it works best if it is given one day out of rest out of every 7 days. And sometimes we see the tragic consequences when the need for rest is ignored. For example, the Challenger space shuttle disaster way back in 1986 was partly the result of human error caused by tiredness. NASA officials had worked 20 hours straight after only getting 2 or 3 hours of sleep the night before. Their decision to go ahead with the launch was an error of judgment that cost the lives of 7 astronauts. It is estimated that more than 110,000 car accidents in North America are the direct cause of driver fatigue. This results in nearly 2,000 deaths, 78,000 injuries, and about $14 billion in monetary losses. You see, when people ignore the pattern that God has created within creation, when they ignore their need for rest and renewal, the consequences can be very severe. And this leads us to a second reason behind the fourth commandment. God created a day of rest for our benefit. It's interesting to note, as I said earlier, that Jesus deliberately chose the Sabbath day to perform many of his miraculous healings. Jesus knew that this would make the Jewish leaders extremely angry. He knew that it would cause them to revolt against him. They wanted to kill him. So why would Jesus provoke the Jewish leaders by healing on the Sabbath? The answer to that question comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, which I read earlier, where Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." By healing on the Sabbath, Jesus was demonstrating two things. First, he was demonstrating that he is Lord of the Sabbath. And second, he was demonstrating that the legalistic observance of the Sabbath misses the entire point. The Pharisees and religious leaders in Jesus' day had created so many rules for the Sabbath day that the day became a burden and a source of oppression. It is estimated that the Pharisees had devised 39 different categories of laws that had to be obeyed on the Sabbath, and this totaled about 613 rules and regulations. The Sabbath was created for man's benefit and enjoyment. It was never, ever intended to be a day which enslaved people with hundreds of man-made rules and traditions. The fourth commandment ultimately points us to the love and the goodness of God. He created a day of rest and worship for our benefit, because we all need time for personal restoration and spiritual restoration. Let me give you a third reason behind this commandment. God created a day of rest for us to intentionally focus on Him. Exodus 31:13, listen to this, these words in Exodus 31:13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." God created the Sabbath as a sign between God and His people to help us remember to focus on Him. Now, why would God ordain a day for us to specifically focus on worship? The answer to the question lies within human nature itself. Most of us are easily distracted. There are always things that compete for our time and our attention. Unless we deliberately make time for corporate worship, it will never be set aside. Author Michael Horton writes these words. He says, "We are not as strong as we think. We desperately need to hear God's word proclaimed on a regular basis. If we are not learning, growing, and being constantly reminded of our basic convictions, we are not standing still, we are moving backwards. There is no such thing as standing still in the Christian life. The early church had an effective way of coming together on the first day of the week, every week, for public worship, and that has served the advancement of Christ's kingdom for almost 2,000 years. Bible college professor wrote about an incident from his own life, which serves to illustrate the importance of the fourth commandment. Here's what he wrote. He said, "One day I received a phone call while I was sitting at my desk. A student in the college department called to say that his car had broken down, and he was stranded about 2 miles from my office. So I drove over to his location and found him leaning against his car, looking frustrated. I asked him what happened, and he said, "Well, I was driving down the road, and my car quit running, so I pulled over to the shoulder of the road. Could you be out of gas?" I asked. "No," he said, "I just filled it up." Although I have very little mechanical expertise, I asked him another question. "Did your car make any noise before it stopped running?" The student replied, "Oh yeah, it made lots of noise. As I was driving down the hill, the car went brump, 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 pow." "So your car went brump, 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 pow?" "Yes," he said. Feeling a little more confident, I asked him, "When was the last time you changed the oil?" Student gave me a puzzled look, and he said, "Oil?" As it turns out, he had owned the car for 1.5 years and had never changed the oil. Machines need maintenance, and so do people. The fourth commandment reminds us that we need to set aside regular periods of time for physical and spiritual renewal. Before I conclude, I want to address one more issue. Under the Old Testament law, the Jewish people kept the Sabbath day by obeying a strict set of rules and rituals. How does this commandment apply to us today? In answering this question, it's important for us to note that nowhere in the New Testament are Christians commanded to observe the Sabbath. In one form or another, all the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament, except the commandment that we have looked at today. We are no longer bound by the ceremonial laws and regulations that were part of the Jewish Sabbath day. Nonetheless, while we are not under obligation to obey the strict letter of the law, I believe the fourth commandment contains several principles that apply to us today in our day and age. First, we are to set aside a day for corporate worship and spiritual renewal. According to the New Testament, the early church came together for public worship on the first day of the week. For New Testament believers, one day of the week was specifically set a time for biblical teaching and the corporate worship of God. This conforms to Hebrews 10:25, which encourages believers to meet on a regular basis. Second, we ought to set aside a day for rest and physical renewal. Earlier in the message, I referred to a scientific study that confirms the wisdom of following the pattern of one day of rest that God has put into place. Scientific research simply confirms the wisdom of God's word. In the book of Leviticus, God instructed the Israelites to let their farmland lay fallow once every 7 years. It seems that God has ordained a basic principle of life. Regular rest and renewal is essential for the optimal health of all living things. Third, we ought to see Sunday as a day in which we can not only worship God, but we can show mercy and compassion. This is exactly what Jesus did. He healed on the Sabbath and put human needs before tradition and ritual. Sunday can be a good day for us to show mercy, to show compassion by visiting someone in the hospital, by spending time with someone who is lonely, making a phone call to someone who is lonely or shut in, inviting someone into our home, or giving generously to the work of God. So one of the ways we can honor the Lord's Day is by going out of our way to show compassion to others in need, by taking our eyes off ourselves and putting the focus on the needs of others. Ultimately, one of the key points is that the fourth commandment was a foreshadowing of Christ. The Sabbath day points us to the fact that salvation does not come through our own efforts. It does not come through our own striving, through our own work. Jesus has fulfilled the law. Salvation comes when you and I cease trying to earn our salvation and we rest every single day in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Ten Commandments. We thank you for the way in which you have put a pattern of work and rest into the very fabric of creation. We thank you that the Fourth Commandment, indeed the entire Old Testament, was a foreshadowing of Christ. We do not need to strive to seek to earn our salvation, to work out favor with you. Lord Jesus, you have fulfilled the law. You died as our substitute. You have done what we cannot do for ourselves, which was to live a perfect, a sinless, a holy life. Thank you that we can rest in you, that we find our salvation in your grace as we put our faith in you. Lord, thank you that each and every day we can enjoy peace with you. We can enjoy that rest for our souls that you provide for us. Lord, on the Lord's Day, the day that we set aside for corporate worship, help us to be mindful of the needs of others. As Jesus healed on the Sabbath, we are reminded, Lord, that this is a day for us, as are the other 6 days of the week, this is a day for us in which we can show compassion, we can show mercy, we can worship you corporately, and we can grow together in our faith. So thank you for your goodness. Thank you that your laws are designed to help us live full lives, to live healthy lives. And we thank you for your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.